purification. That is the only way we can protect ourselves from this curse. So he said that, and then Uddhava came to know about all this, and then he comes to Krishna and says, I cannot bear even a moment of, half a moment of separation from you. Now I came to know that you are departing from this world, although you are capable of nullifying the curse given by the sages to the Yadu dynasty. You are not doing it. Means you have decided that Yadus will disappear and you will also disappear. So I also want to come with you. Please take me. Then he expresses his feelings of separation in various ways. So he is not seeking liberation. He is actually seeking service of Krishna. Right? He is not afraid of this material world because he can conquer Maya just by the tadiya of Krishna, Krishna's Mahaprasadam. So Uddhava's main intention is he is worried about the imminent separation caused by this ghastly disappearance of Yadu dynasty, and he will miss the opportunity to personally render service to Krishna. So he is expressing his feelings of separation. Now Krishna is responding. In this first verse, he says, yes, my dear Uddhava, what you said is true. I desire to withdraw this Yadu dynasty. So, Prabhupada's disciples write in this purport that the demigods are the universal controllers within the kingdom of Maya. But Vishnu is the lord of illusory potency and many other spiritual potencies. So, this purport gives a comparison between the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the demigods. So Krishna is the source of all Vishnu tattvas, while demigods are just managers of various affairs of this material universe. So that difference is mentioned here. All other prominent extraordinary living entities owe their positions and potencies to the Lord. Ultimately, Vishnu himself is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Second verse. Maya nishpaditam hyatra. Shataha. Yadartham avatirnoham. Amshena brahmanathita.
Arthita. Answering the prayer of Lord Brahma, I descended within this world along with my plenary portion, Lord Baladev, and perform various activities on behalf of the demigods. I have now completed my mission here.
So, maya nishpiditam hyatra. I have already accomplished various things that I have actually descended for. Devakaryam aseshataha. Aseshaha. Sesha means remaining, balance. Asesha means there is nothing remaining. So for the purpose for which I have descended has been fulfilled. Nothing is left out. Right? All the agenda, to-do list, in my incarnation I have tick-marked everything. So nothing else is left. Yadartham avatirnoham amshena brahmanarthitaha. So yadartham means the purpose of avatirnam, my appearance, has been fulfilled. Kulam vai shapa nirdagdham. So, nankshyanti anyonya vigrahat samudra saptamehenam purimcha plavayishyati.
Now, due to the Brahmana's curse, the Yadu dynasty will certainly perish by fighting among themselves, and on the seventh day from today, the ocean will rise up and inundate the city of Dwarka.
When Krishna is saying that the ocean will rise up and inundate the city of Dwarka, that doesn't mean Dwarka city is subjected to destruction by a material ocean, by one of the material elements, water. It's not like that. That city of Dwarka, which is resplendent now because of the presence of Krishna and his dear associates Yadus, will be withdrawn from the mundane vision. That is the meaning. So, it's not the inevitable natural calamity that is attacking the city of Dwaraka, attacking the dynasty of Yadus, and then helplessly wiping them off from this planet. Not like that. Krishna manifested his pastimes in this world for a certain purpose, and then when the purpose has been fulfilled, he's withdrawing the whole thing. But to the vision of the mundane materialistic people, it appears that, oh, Dwarka city just drowned in the ocean. Right? Inundation has happened. So that's what they think. That is what is explained in this purport. So what Krishna is indicating to Uddhava is that he should immediately fix himself in self-realization by giving up all identification with the material world. So Yadu dynasty was not actually destroyed. It has been merely removed from the vision of the material world. Means all the external approaches to this transcendental city of Dwaraka have been blocked. Right? When you put a password to a file, everybody cannot open that file. Only the person who knows the password can open that file. Just because you don't know the password, that doesn't mean file is corrupted or file is not existent and the data is not available in that file. You just don't know the password. Similarly, Dwaraka is eternally existent. Dwaraka is never subjected to destruction. But Krishna has opened the password till now. Now he has blocked it. Right? So nobody can see it. So that's what he has done now. So the external approaches to this city have been blocked. यर्ह्येवायं मया त्यक्तो लोकोऽयं नष्टमङ्गलः भविष्यन्त्यचिरात् साधो कलिनापि निराकृतः.
ओ सेंटली उद्धव, इन द नियर फ्यूचर आई विल अबैंडन दिस अर्थ, देन बीइंग ओवरवेल्म्ड बाय द एज ऑफ कली द अर्थ विल बी बिरेप्ट ऑफ ऑल पाइटी.
So, I will abandon this earth. In 7 days, ocean will inundate this city of Dwaraka and I will leave from here. But then, being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, earth will be bereft of piety. So, now the inevitable course of yugas is coming. So, when monsoon ends, then winter has to begin. When winter ends, summer has to begin. When summer is coming, you have to make certain preparations, right? You have to purchase earthen pots to keep your water cool, right? When winter is about to begin, you have to make your preparations. You have to wash your winter clothes that you have used 1 year back, right? You have to keep everything ready, muffler, socks, whatever, sweater, everything has to be ready. So when an age comes, along with that age comes a lot of qualities. When a season comes, along with the season comes certain qualities of that season, right? Cold or heat or rain or whatever. Similarly, Krishna is saying, Kali is about to come. Now, I have come at the end of Dwapar Yuga. Now, I will go. Then Kali will come. So, what is the nature of that Kali Yuga? People will be bereft of piety. Earth is bereft of piety. Right. Bhavishyani achirat sadhu. Nashtamangalaha. Lokoyam nashtamangalaha. Means they are bereft of auspiciousness or piety. That is the quality of Kali Yuga. So, what is the greatest problem? When hearing is neglected, then mental concoction will take over. Means, when learning or when gathering knowledge from bona fide sources is neglected, then one will tend to concoct knowledge and try to lead his life based on that concocted knowledge and try to influence other people based on his mental concoctions. Right? If he is influential, if he is more prominent, then other people, innocent people, will try to follow him. So concoctions will prevail. Right, the timeless Vedic knowledge that is descending from the scriptures, that will go into the background and something else will come in the foreground. Concoctions will come in the foreground. Oh, this statement is coming from say so and so Puran or so and so say Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, people may not give so much advantage, so much what to say, attention to it. If so and so celebrity has said something, then people will give more attention to it. And that statement may be coming from the celebrity's top of his brain, right? But people will give more likes will come for it. How many likes for that one image that so and so celebrity has said? 9 lakh likes, 10 lakh likes. You put a Bhagavatam quote there, 20 likes, 15 likes, 7 likes, like that. So the fan following of scriptures, bona fide wisdom, is very less, and the fan following of concoctions will become like too prominent in Kali Yuga. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. We should not be surprised. So Krishna's plan was to bring Uddhava back to his own abode, but after a brief delay, not immediately. Why? Because Krishna wanted Uddhava to be here and give association to those people who did not get the opportunity to associate with Krishna in this 125 years. That is the purpose of Uddhava's presence in Krishna's absence. Now, in the second paragraph, it is mentioned, wherever the supreme position of the personality of Godhead is not recognized, useless mental speculation becomes very prominent. And the safe and sure path of hearing perfect Vedic knowledge becomes covered by the chaos of mental concoction. Just now we have studied it. So Krishna has performed innumerable enchanting pastimes, and he became the source of innumerable varieties of pleasure. In fact, he is an ocean of eternal pleasure. When the eternal soul is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from the loving service to the Lord, he is overwhelmed and bewildered by the material nature. So that is Kali Yuga's condition. That is epitome of misfortune, Kali Yuga. Unless the living entity recognizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, he remains a helpless victim in the clutches of Maya. He concocts different solutions to release himself from Maya, but these solutions are themselves creations of Maya and thus cannot possibly release the conditioned soul. The solutions are also concoctions of Maya. Dukkha ushadam tadapi dukkham atadhyaham bhuman vadame tava dasya yogam. Right? Vadame tava dasya yogam. Please, my Lord, Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narasimhadev, please allow me to associate with your devotees, allow me to serve you. Dasya yogam, you give. Otherwise, the solutions in this material world are greater problems than the problems themselves. So you should give me the real solution, which is service to your lotus feet. Navastavyam tvayai veham maya tyakte mahitale जनोभद्रुचिर्भद्रम भविष्यति कलौ युगे.
माय डियर उद्धव, यू शुड नॉट रिमेन हियर ऑन द अर्थ वंस आई हैव अबैंडन्ड दिस वर्ल्ड. माय डियर डिवोटी, यू आर सिनलेस, बट इन कलियुगा द पीपल विल बी एडिक्टेड टू ऑल टाइप्स ऑफ सिनफुल एक्टिविटीज, देयरफॉर डू नॉट स्टे हियर.
Although Krishna is not agreeing to take Uddhava back with him immediately, but Krishna doesn't want Uddhava to stay perpetually throughout Kali Yuga. After a very brief delay, just one small work is left out, that you do and then come back immediately. I don't want you also to stay in Kali Yuga for a long time, because you are so sane person, and the Kali Yuga is filled with insane people, right? With insane mentality. And the atmosphere also very insane. So for such a sane person, sober person, to be in such insane atmosphere is very suffocating. So you cannot live here. So it's not my intention to keep you in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the devotees who are engaged in ever-increasing loving service of the Lord should never be attracted to living on earth, the population of which is covered in the darkness of ignorance. and devoid of any loving relationship with the Lord. Thus Krishna advised Uddhava not to remain on the earth. So in the later lines, so in fact in Bhagavad Gita the Lord advises all the living entities that they should never remain anywhere within the material universe during any age. What to speak of Kali Yuga. Therefore every living being should take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga. Take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga, not pleasures. No pleasure there. Take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga to understand the overall useless nature of the material world and surrender to Krishna. Overall, so Kali Yuga gives the best glimpses to understand the temporary nature of this material world. Material world is temporary, whether it is Kali Yuga or Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwapar Yuga, whether it is summer or winter or monsoon. So this material world is filled with miseries only. But you can better realize the temporariness of this material world in Kali Yuga. So we are in an advantageous position in the sense that we can directly face the brunt of the miseries of material world in Kali Yuga. In the previous ages, like it is not so prominently visible. It's not very evident as it is evident in Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is more advantageous for us to develop detachment from this kingdom of illusion. So Uddhava, Krishna never wants any living entity to be in this world. How can he instruct Uddhava to be here? So when Krishna sends his representatives to this material world, it is only out of his sheer compassion towards the residents of this material world that he is sending all the acharyas and his associates to come here. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, so many acharyas are descending here to spread the message of Krishna for a while. It's not that Krishna is little bothered or irritated by them in the spiritual world. Okay, jao, udhar raho thodi der, don't bother me. He is not sending like that. Although he is feeling separation from all these eternal associates, still he would send them here for our benefit. Like that. Otherwise, Krishna never wants anyone to stay in this material world. Which noble king wants any of his citizens to stay in jail? An ideal king would always want the jail to be empty. I have to close down this jail. So there should be no criminal in the jail only. But still, he has to maintain the jail. And he has to send some of his confidential officers also to the jail to oversee the affairs there. That's what Krishna is doing. Sixth verse. So I think I mentioned it. Third canto is different from this canto. This 11th canto happened before third canto. So now we have seen the sequence. Demigods have come to Krishna and said, "You can, the purpose of your descent has been fulfilled. You can go back to your abode." Now Uddhava is feeling separation from Krishna and he is asking Krishna, "I also want to come with you." Now Krishna will begin Uddhava Gita. He will end Uddhava Gita in 29th chapter of 11th canto. So first 11.1 happened, then 11.2 to 5 happened, Vasudeva and Narada Muni's conversation. Then 11.6 happened. 11.6 is demigods meeting with Krishna and Uddhava's meeting with Krishna. Then 11.7 to 29, that is all Uddhava Gita. Conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, this whole conversation. After that, Uddhava, Krishna instructs Uddhava to go to Badrikashram. So Uddhava goes to Badrikashram. Then meanwhile, this Maushalya Leela will happen. Maushalya Leela means annihilation of Yadu dynasty at Prabhasa Kshetra by a mutual fight amongst themselves. So that Prabhasa Kshetra, that incident that happened in, that is described in 11th canto, 30th and 31st chapters. Yeah, I'll come to that. So 30 and 31, these two chapters of this canto describe Maushalya Leela. And this Maushalya Leela is actually, Maushalya Leela, you understand, na? The disappearance of Yadus. So that is also quoted in 3rd canto, 4th chapter and 3rd chapter by Uddhava. So what happens is, after the disappearance of Yadus at Prabhasakshetra, Krishna is just sitting under a banyan tree. So meanwhile, what's happening? Uddhava, after hearing Uddhava Gita, he is going from Dwaraka to Badrikashram. Meanwhile, Moshala Leela happened. So when Uddhava was going to Badrikashram, he felt intense separation from Krishna. So he returned back. He wanted to see Krishna. So he could not proceed to Badrikashram. He came back. Then he met Krishna at Prabhasakshetra. Then he asked, I am unable to proceed to Badrikashram. Right? I am feeling separation from you. Then Krishna again instructed Uddhava. That's mentioned in 3rd canto, where in that conversation between Uddhava and Krishna under that banyan tree, Maitreya Muni comes and joins. So then Krishna speaks Paramam Sthitim, his transcendental situation, which is more confidential than Chatushloki. So when he speaks that to Uddhava, Uddhava proceeds to Badrikashram and Maitreya Muni goes to Haridwar and Krishna departs. Right? So after this incident only, after the meeting between Krishna, Uddhava and Maitreya, Uddhava goes to Badrikashram, Maitreya goes to Haridwar, Krishna is shot by that Jara's arrow. That happens there. Then Krishna departs. Then Uddhava, when he moves ahead towards Badrikashram, he reaches bank of Yamuna. Then Vidura comes there. Then Vidura says, you accept me as your disciple, after asking some questions. Then Uddhava says, I cannot accept your disciple, you go to Maitreya. Then Vidura comes to Haridwar and Uddhava proceeds to Badrikashram. Now, any...
That's why I it's kind of a coincidence. But all three times when he gets shot, when he's instructing Uddhava and when he's, or both times instructing Uddhava, he's sitting in the
room. That incident happened at Prabhasakshetra. That is clear. Both happened under banyan tree. No, Jara. This is in Dwarka. Krishna instructing Uddhava, this is in Dwaraka, palace. Now, two incidents under banyan tree, you are saying about Krishna being shot by arrow? No, this is not banyan tree, this is in Dwaraka palace. Uddhava Gita, pipal tree, that is in a purport, Prabhu. That is referring to an incident where Jara shot arrow in Krishna's leg. Yesterday's purport we discussed, right? That is just immediate next incident after meeting with Maitreya and Uddhava. That's referring to third cat. Someone can do research. Hey, any comments? Ashwatha Vriksha is mentioned in that tree. Here Pippala is mentioned. So both are same or? Whatever story by any entry. Some tree. Okay. Sixth verse. Tvam tu sarvam parityajya. Sneham svajana bandhushu mayyavesha manas samyak samadrug vicharasvagam.
Now you should completely give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me. Thus, being always conscious of me, you should observe all things with equal vision and wander throughout the earth.
So, before departing, Krishna is trying to teach Uddhava detached vision, equal vision. So, you should give up your attachment. You should wander with equal vision. Actually, Uddhava is beyond the instructions that are given by Krishna. So, several chapters that are coming, that they seem to be below the pure devotional status or standard of Uddhava. Some discussions about deity worship, varnashram, so many things are happening. But we need to understand that whenever Krishna is speaking through a devotee, to a devotee, but he's actually speaking through that devotee to us. So you should have equal vision and wander throughout the earth. So in the previous verse he said, don't be here, you come back. And now he's saying, wander throughout the earth with an equal vision. So as long as you are here, you should be with detached and equal vision. So samadrug, one who is in the path of self-realization should always endeavor to see the ultimate spiritual nature of all existence. So one should fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything. Thus, as one passes one's life on the earth, using up one's allotted time, one should practice seeing all things and all people as part and parcel of the Absolute Truth. This is the aspiration of a devotee. Seeing everything in connection with Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. Right? So that is, this whole purport is a very instructive purport where we are encouraged to act on the platform of Krishna Sambandha. Means seeing everything and everyone in connection with Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. So in the conditioned state, when the soul sees an object, he sees that as an object of his pleasure. How do I derive enjoyment from this object? Is this object capable of giving me enjoyment and pleasure? So in the lower species, this mood is quite prominent. You don't see so much of selflessness in lower species. Cats or rabbits or other birds or crocodiles or elephants, you don't see much selflessness there. When they see an object, whether this object will give me happiness or not, whether I can enjoy this or not. So that is the default vision of a conditioned soul. So human beings, they have some ability to not see an object as a object of enjoyment for their senses. They can see some other perspective also in that object. They have the ability, they have that potential. They are bestowed with that intelligence. But a conditioned human being, he doesn't utilize, he doesn't access that potential. Right? So he doesn't understand his potential to see an object in connection with Krishna. And he imitates an animal and sees all objects as the sources of his own selfish pleasure. So human being has to cultivate this vision actually. So if one develops that kind of vision of seeing everything in connection with Krishna, then he sees all objects as actually meant for Krishna's enjoyment. This is meant for sacrifice. Sacrifice means an act done for Krishna's pleasure. So I should utilize this object for Krishna's enjoyment. When he is passing by and then he sees flowers there and plants and twigs there, he says, how can I pluck these flowers and offer it to Vrindavan Vihari? That is his vision. And he goes little ahead and he sees some papaya fruits or some kheti, agriculture fields. Then he thinks that how can I pluck these fruits and berries and vegetables and then cook and feed Krishna. And then he moves little ahead and then he sees some people, some guests coming there. Then he would think, how can I educate them in Krishna consciousness? Right? So they are not practicing bhakti yoga. How can I give them the knowledge of bhakti yoga and then make them aware of Krishna? So he sees every person and every object, whether it is moving object or non-moving object, moving entity or non-moving living entity, he sees them in connection with Krishna and tries to engage them in Krishna service. That is the actual vision of a devotee. Right? So that is what Samadrug here is referring to. However, Krishna is equally present in all things. The word Samadruk in this verse indicates that one must ultimately see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. This equal vision is compatible with mature knowledge of the varieties present within this world. Okay. Now, Krishna is teaching Uddhava to develop this Samadruk, equal vision. So what all Krishna had accomplished in his 125 years of stay here? He went to Kundinapur. No, beyond that, what is that? What is Bhishmaka's kingdom? Kundinapur. What about Rukmi's new kingdom? Bhojakata. So Bhojakata is Rukmini's kingdom, right? Who is, I think Kundinapur is... That is Bhojakata. Okay. Anyways, Krishna went to Kundinapur to kidnap Rukmini. Krishna went to Hastinapur, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka. He went to Kashi also to see our hero Pondraka, Shalva, and there are some other people, right? Then he went to Yamalok also to reclaim his spiritual master's son. And he went to Mahavishnu also. He went to heavenly planets to give that chhatri and earrings to Aditi and to get Parijata from there. And he went to Bhaumasur, Narakasur, so many other kingdoms. And he went to Mithila also to see Bahulashva and Sratadev. Where else? He went to Varuna's abode also, under waters. So he visited so many places. But he didn't get to visit Badrikashram, where there are sages. So although he's all over the place in this 125 years, but he neglected, or somehow he didn't get time. He couldn't fit that in his schedule. Right, 125 years passed. So schedule mein time nahi mila. So Krishna, he went to Sutala planet to meet Bali Maharaj. Right? And he is thinking that I never could meet Naranarayan Rishi and other sages at Badrikashram. So better Uddhava goes. Now it's time for me. I have to go back. So let Uddhava go and enlighten them. So what he has to enlighten? Uddhava has to enlighten all the sages of Badrikashram in the science of transcending the kingdom of illusion. That is why Krishna wants Uddhava to stay back. Even if such a devotee should suddenly give up his life while neglecting to fix his mind intensely on me, such a devotee's loving feelings are so powerful that they afford him all protection. So basically, in this paragraph, so the great souls who have surrendered to Krishna are described. Okay. So who are equipped with the transcendental knowledge and detachment from the material world. Sometimes being busy in their devotional service, they may appear to forget me. However, a pure devotee who has achieved the platform of love for me will always be protected by such sincere devotion. Okay. So first one has to be enlightened in the transcendental knowledge. Then if he develops love for Krishna by that transcendental knowledge, then that sincere devotion only will protect him. So although superficially such busy devotees may occasionally not think directly of Krishna's lotus feet, such loving devotion will undoubtedly take them back to Krishna's lotus feet. This is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga, which depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the All Personality of Godhead, All Merciful Personality of Godhead. Okay. So see the last paragraph, Neha Bhikramana Sosti, after that. As soon as one is attached to one's so-called family, false prestige and material possessiveness arise. Actually, everyone is part and parcel of God, and therefore, on the spiritual platform, related to all other entities. This is called Krishna Sambandha, or constitutional relationship with Krishna. It is not possible to advance to the higher stage of spiritual awareness and at the same time maintain a petty material concept of society, friendship, love. One should experience all relationships on the higher spiritual platform of Krishna Sambandha. This is the key line. Which means seeing everything in relation to Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So trying to see every person and every object in connection with Krishna is Krishna consciousness. See the relationship between Krishna and everything. First see relationship between myself, oneself and Krishna, then see that same relationship between others and Krishna also. So if it is a person, this person is part and parcel of Krishna. So his body is a temple of Krishna. So Prasol is staying there. He deserves respect. He deserves my reverence. He deserves my love and affection. Right? So like that one has to connect with others. We're keeping Krishna in center. So if you keep Krishna aside and try to make a connection with other person, that will not survive for long. If you remember, I was giving this example. So you have a tree and there is a branch this side and the branch that side, and the leaf on this branch will think that, oh, this leaf on the other side of the branch, other side of the tree is so far from me, so I want to be together. Then that leaf detaches from the tree, this leaf also detaches from the tree, both of them come together and they start embracing each other, they start staying with each other, and in 2-3 days they'll become powder, brown powder, right? So a leaf or a tree, leaf or a twig or a flower or a fruit on a tree is fresh, is worth seeing as long as it is on the tree. It is connected to the tree. So we as spirit souls are in proper sane condition, pure condition, as long as we are connected with Krishna service tree, Krishna consciousness tree. If tree is in the center of these two leaves, then those three leaves are properly situated. Leaving the tree aside, even if they stay together also, they cannot stay together for long. So our relationships should be centered around the service of Krishna. Physically we may be distance apart, but if two people, two devotees are serving Krishna, if Krishna is their main object of life, they are connected with Krishna. They are having Krishna Sambandha. And when I see another person, I have to see him in relationship with Krishna. If I keep Krishna aside and then start making a relationship with him, it doesn't make much difference between a materialistic person and me. Like that. So seeing, see, that's what the statement is. It is not possible to advance to the highest stage of spiritual awareness and at the same time maintain a petty material concept of society, friendship and love. One should experience all relationships on the higher spiritual platform of Krishna Sambandha. Which means seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Seeing everything. We have seen so many devotees, examples of devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, who always keep Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the center. And they are interacting with each other, their relationships are nice, but they always keep Mahaprabhu in the center. Lord Gauranga in the center. We have seen the relationships between Pandavas and Prachetas. So many such people are there. So they always keep Krishna in the center. We have seen the feelings of separation between Pandavas and Vidura in the first canto. Right? So when Vidura comes to Hastinapur, Pandavas and all the other Hastinapur residents, they feel as if their life and consciousness has come back, right? In that context, Prabhupada writes, Vidura was living in the forest so far, and Pandavas were living in palace. Whether a devotee lives in a palace or in forest, the main thing that we have to see in a devotee is whether he is wrapped in thought of Krishna or not. Vidura was wrapped in thought of Krishna, Pandavas were wrapped in thought of Krishna, and they have a very good relationship. Now you see this other 9th canto episode, Devayani Sharmishta. Their relationship was also one of friendship before entering the lake to take bath. So, but their relationship did not have Krishna in the center. They came out and their clothes got exchanged and they start getting into an egoistic dispute where one girl is saying that you Kshatriyas are just beggars, are dependent on the mercy of Brahmanas. And the other girl, Devayani, says that Sarmishta says, you Brahmanas are like beggars in front of our houses. Without our giving some charity to you, you cannot maintain yourself. So like that, they got into such egoistic clashes, and for the rest of their life, they lived like enemies. So without keeping Krishna in the center, a relationship cannot survive. With the slightest egoistic clash, there is a lifelong enmity created. But if one keeps Krishna in the center, Krishna's service in the center, although there could be so many differences of opinion and then different styles of working, still, as long as these two devotees give priority to Krishna's service, they will keep their other differences of opinion in the background and then keep Krishna's service in front. Right? They work for Krishna. So that prioritizing Krishna's service will keep them together in spite of being so different in their natures. Getting right? So Krishna's service will bring people together. Keeping Krishna in center, if people work, then they can be together. If Krishna is taken out from the center, their being together is just subjected to, it's very vulnerable. It is subjected to all the conditions of material nature. So this statement says, one should experience all relationships on the higher spiritual platform of Krishna Sambandha, which means seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. One who is situated in his constitutional relationship with Krishna can see all things in relation to Krishna. He thus gives up the mundane urges of body, mind, speech, and travels throughout the earth as a devotee of the Lord. Now, 7th verse. Yatitam manasa vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhimaya manomayam.
My dear Uddhav, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all the objects of the material senses are temporary.
What is that equal vision? Yadidam manasa vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi. You see, you come in contact with so many objects through your various senses. But one imagines all of those sensual contacts to be real only because of Maya. Yadidam manasa vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grahyamananam vidhi maya manoimayam. Understand that all objects of material senses are actually temporary representatives of illusory energy of Krishna. So understand the material objects around you are actually presentations of illusory energy. That is equal vision. Right? So to see, and whose illusory energy is this? Krishna's illusory energy. So if one is Krishna consciousness, he will see material objects also in connection with Krishna only. So in actual sense, nothing is material, everything is spiritual. How can something that has a spiritual source become material? So when we say an object is material, that is actually our vision that is material. Our vision of seeing an object separate from Krishna makes that object material. But if we see the same object in connection with Krishna, then that same material object can be utilized in Krishna's service, and that is not material. So whether something is material or spiritual is decided based on what effect it produces. You are using matter in Krishna's service and you are making spiritual advancement. How can this be called material then? So in a higher sense, nothing is material. But in this material world, everything is material. See both. See everything's connection with Krishna and understand everything is spiritual, and also see the potential of engaging everything in Krishna's service and making the material into spiritual. So whether we convert matter into spirit or spirit into matter depends on our consciousness, right? So in fact, you should know that all objects of the material senses are temporary, like that. Purport is very important. The question may be raised that since we find good and bad qualities throughout the material world, how can Krishna advise Uddhava to see everything equally? You are saying develop equal vision. What do you mean? Everything is same. There is something good, something bad also. How can you see both equally? So in this verse, Krishna explains, material good and evil are creations of illusory energy, just as objects of a dream are mental creation. For example, in a dream, someone may see gold and stool, right? Can you say gold is very good and stool is very bad? Both are dreams only. Ultimately, both are not real. It's after all a dream, right? Whether it is gold or stool, it is a part of a dream in that sense that is temporary, right? So here also, whether it is good or bad in this material world, because it is in this material world, it is temporary, whether it is good or bad. So duality cannot have an eternal effect. So Krishna is actually everything because he is present within everything, and everything is present within him. So Krishna is Sarvalokamaheshwaram. To see anything separate from Krishna is illusion, and attraction to any kind of material illusion, either good or bad, is ultimately useless, since it obliges the living entity to continue wandering in the cycle of birth and death. So when we are caught up in what is good and what is bad on a material plane, we may end up good destinations like heaven or bad destinations like hell, but both destinations are within this material world. We are stuck up in this material world only. So one has to transcend seeing objects on a material plane. One has to develop a vision of seeing everything in connection with Krishna. So that is the recommendation. So sarvadharman parityajya. Despite our foolish hopes and dreams, there is no actual happiness on the material platform. The real truth is not material, nor is it temporary. The real truth is called Atma, or eternal soul. And among all eternal souls, Krishna is the supreme eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. That verse. Now 8th verse. It is further explaining the concept mentioned in 7th verse. Pumso yuktasya nanarthom. Brahmasa gunadoshabhak. Karma karma vikarmeti. Gunadoshadhiyobhidam.
One whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion perceives many differences in value and meaning among material objects. Thus one engages constantly on the platform of material good and evil and is bound by such conceptions. Absorbed in material duality, such a person contemplates the performance of compulsory duties, non-performance of such duties, and performance of forbidden activities.
So when one's consciousness is bewildered by this illusory energy, means caught up in dualities, happiness, distress, what else? Sukham, dukham, narakam, swargam, blessing and curse. So all these dualities, one's consciousness is caught up there, material dualities, and he perceives differences. Karma, akarma, vikarma, like that. Karma is prescribed activity. Akarma is not doing prescribed activity. Vikarma is doing forbidden activity. So these three. One is just caught up in this. So the message here is transcend this material good and evil. Good or bad on a material platform is ultimately bad only, because that keeps you in this material world, temporary world. That is a simple concept. So the illusory material platform of existence is described in this verse. Okay, next. Another beautiful example is given. For example, a woman is there and she loves a man. And she is very eager to see that man. And she daily dresses, daily sees him dressed in many other attires. Right? Sometimes he dresses himself like a king. Sometimes he may dress him like a Bollywood hero. Sometimes he may dress like a drama artist. So like that, he would present himself in so many dresses. And the woman who loves him is very happy to see. Right? Different times he would come in different hairstyles. She is happy to see. So actually, she is not attached to all these dresses. She is attached to the man. Is it not? So actually the woman is interested not in the clothes but in the man. Similarly, within every material object, Krishna is there. Therefore, one who has developed love for God is constantly seeing Lord everywhere and not the superficial material objects that cover the Lord. So when someone sees the tree, if he has developed mature spiritual vision, he remembers Krishna. Oh, this tree is part and parcel of Krishna. So this tree is a manifestation of Krishna's mercy to give fruits and flowers and shadow and firewood to people in general. So he sees every object in connection with Krishna. He sees Krishna's plan behind the manifestation of every object. So that is Krishna's vision. Just like a woman sees a man in different dresses and she is not caught up with the dresses, she is imbued with love for that man. For example, a dog sees a master. His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj gives this example in his journey home. So a dog sees a master, whether the master comes in fan shirt or lungi, banyan, or whether he comes in dhoti kurta, or whether he comes in a gamcha or naked, still the dog will recognize the master. He is my master. I have to follow his order. Similarly, Krishna may manifest anything, right? Any material object in this world, devotee sees the connection between that material object and Krishna. Krishna may manifest in the form of any incarnation, devotee loves him. Oh, this is Krishna here. Krishna may present any situation in the life of a devotee, he understands this is Krishna's hand. Krishna has arranged this for me. Let me accept it without any complaint. Although it is difficult for me, let me tolerate this because Krishna has arranged for this. Let me not protest. The power of tolerance is greater than power of protest. So devotee never protests. When Krishna arranges a situation in his life, devotee never protests. He accepts it. Although it is difficult for him, he continues to tolerate. Like that. The word ayuktasya in this verse indicates one who has not come to the stage of reality. Ayuktasya. Yuktasya means very intelligent person. Ayuktasya is not so intelligent. So now in this purport, other so many dualities are mentioned. And it is said, however, we do not have any permanent relationship with any of these conditions, dualities, because we are eternal spirit souls, parts and parcels of Krishna. Actions in the mode of ignorance are called vikarma. Unfortunately, neither materially responsible person, see this, beautiful. Karma, akarma, vikarma, three things are there. Karma is doing activities, prescribed activities. Akarma is not doing those activities. And vikarma is doing forbidden activities. So one who does karma is a materially responsible person. One who does akarma is a materially irresponsible person. Akarma means he's not doing anything. So he's materially irresponsible. One who does vikarma is, it's mentioned, unfortunately neither the materially responsible person nor the materially irresponsible person nor the sinful person. One who does vikarma is a sinful person. So all of them cannot achieve real perfection of life, which is Krishna consciousness. So whether you are doing karma or akarma or vikarma, all these are done on a material platform only. Doing karma means responsible. Doing akarma means not responsible, irresponsible. Vikarma means sinful. But all these are on material platform. So, there is no relationship between these three things and Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, although different societies and different individuals maintain different concepts of good and evil, all material things are ultimately useless in terms of our eternal self-interest, which is Krishna consciousness. Guna pravahaye tasmin kashyapa konvanugraha kasvargo narako kivo kova kim sukham dukham evava. So this is verse by Chitraketu Maharaj when Parvati cursed him. Like that. So now question may come. If this is the case, why prescriptions are there in the Vedas and why prohibitions are there in Vedas? If everything, sukha, dukha, everything, all these dualities have no permanent effect. Guna pravaha etasmin. When you say pravaha, it's constantly flowing. Right? So when waves are constantly flowing, which wave is permanent? No wave is permanent. So this material world is compared to a constantly flowing river. So in a constantly flowing river, a wave which may seem like happiness is not permanent. Another wave which may seem like distress, that is also not permanent. A wave may seem like a blessing, that is also not permanent. A wave may seem like a curse, that is also not permanent. Whatever may be the nature of the wave, none of the waves are permanent. This is guna pravaha etasmin. If nothing is permanent, why there are so many prescriptions and so many prohibitions in the Vedas? That is the next question. Answer is, at least to bring a person to the mode of goodness. Right? The function of Vedic literature is to engage each individual at a particular level on which he is presently situated and gradually elevate him to the perfection of life. The material mode of goodness itself is not spiritual. It is also material mode of goodness only. Still, by avoiding the prohibitions and by following the prescriptions in the Vedic literature, one will at least come to the mode of goodness. Right? So when one comes to the mode of goodness, from there he can transcend the modes easily. Transcending the material modes from mode of ignorance is difficult. Transcending the material modes from mode of passion is difficult. Transcending the modes from the mode of goodness becomes easy. Example is given. It's like a runway where plane takes off, airplane. So before taking off, airplane directly doesn't go like this. So it has to, you know, rotate. It has to do some chakkar on the runway. So goodness is like that. One has to at least come to the goodness where he has some cleanliness and some gentleness and some good habits, some peaceful attitude, so some determination, all that. So he will just go on the runway and then he can take off. He can transcend the modes. But just remaining on the runway will not take you to the destination. You have to go from Mumbai to Delhi. Right, you went to the airport and you went on the runway also. You boarded the airplane also. Airplane is just going around on the runway, but it's not taking off. What is the use? You are still in Bangalore only. You are still in Mumbai only. You didn't go to Bangalore. Similarly, just by coming to mode of goodness is not sufficient. We are still on the material plane. One has to transcend the mode of goodness. But to transcend mode of material modes, one has to come to the runway. To go to Bangalore, you have to come to the airport and you have to board the plane, you have to come on the runway. So in that sense, all these Vedic prescriptions and prohibitions are valid. They are useful, they are needed for one's ultimate spiritual advancement. Ultimately, for example, this brahmacharya is just a simple material concept. You just abstain yourself from sex life and active family life, so many household responsibilities are not there. Just focus on the duties of ashram, right? And dedicate your life for the service of the Guru. So this is just an external, it's a material concept, ashram. Varna and ashram, these are all like external things only. But the spirit with which we follow the rules and regulations of a varna or an ashram makes whether that ashram is spiritual or material. So here an ashram is supposed to present a very conducive atmosphere for spiritual practice. Merely following the rules and regulations of certain varna and ashram is not sufficient. Doing that as an offering to Krishna, some siddhir haritoshanam, that will give an ultimate spiritual benefit. Right? Similarly, merely coming to the mode of goodness is not sufficient. After coming to goodness, one has to transcend the modes. So that is the essence of the next half of the purport. Then, Traigunya Vashaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, that verse they quoted. Now we'll go to the 9th verse.
Tasmajuktendriyagramo Yukta Chitta Idam Jagat Atmanikshasva Vitatam Atmanam Mayadhishwari.
Therefore, bringing all your senses under control and thus subduing the mind, you should see the entire world as situated within the self, who is expanded everywhere. And you should also see this individual self within me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tasmad yuktendriya gramo. So you should, yukta indriya gramo, you should bring all the indriyas under control. Yukta chitta idam jagat. You should also bring your chitta or mind under control. Control your senses, control your mind, and see the world as situated within the self, who is expanded everywhere. Now, when you say the self is expanded everywhere, sarvakataha, what is that? Atmanikshva vitatam atmanam mayadhishvare. So, vitatam means spread out. Soul is spread out. Soul is all pervading, it is mentioned. So, we should not misunderstand the statement that the individual soul is all pervading. Super soul is all pervading. Krishna is all pervading. But individual soul is not all pervading. Souls are the jiva shakti of the Lord is all pervading. Souls are seen everywhere. It's not that souls are present only in India or America or within this earthly planet. Soul is there in this planet also, in so many other planets within the universe also. Soul is there on the land also. Soul is there in the water, in the fire, in the earth, in the ether. Everywhere soul is there. So soul exists everywhere. That is how we need to understand that. Atmanam mayadhishvare nityah sarvagata sthanu. What is that verse? Second canto, second chapter. Nityah sarvagataha. They are quoting there. The individual soul is eternal and is expanded everywhere throughout the material and spiritual worlds. So Krishna's marginal potency is expanding everywhere. The individual living entity exists for the pleasure of personality of Godhead and the Lord's and is the Lord's eternal servant. As soon as the senses become absorbed in material gratification, they lose their power to experience the absolute truth. The actual goal of sense activity is satisfaction of Vishnu, the Lord, and all the senses can experience infinite spiritual pleasure by perceiving and serving the Lord in His personal feature. Okay. See, yesterday we have discussed one concept about separation. The separation between the conditioned soul and the Supreme Lord. Same thing is mentioned here also. Unless one qualifies himself by pure loving devotion to Krishna, the Lord does not award him his exalted experience. So, what is the exalted experience? The experience of being a servant of Krishna. How will one get that experience? By developing love for God. How does one develop love for God? By practicing bhakti yoga. Till that time, he has to be in separation from Krishna, in conditioned state, right? See, therefore, every conditioned soul should end his unnecessary separation from the personality of Godhead by rejoining the Lord's blissful company. Krishna personally comes down to reopen the blind eyes of the conditioned soul, and thus the Lord is personally teaching Uddhava, so that the sincere souls in the future might take advantage of his instructions. Got it? We are in separation from Krishna. Conditioned soul is separated from Krishna because of his forgetfulness. What is causing separation? Only forgetfulness. You remove the forgetfulness and then replace that forgetfulness with love for Krishna, remembrance of Krishna. Then he is in union. So remembrance in separation from Krishna is more powerful than union with Krishna. That's what pure devotees are experiencing. But our separation from Krishna is characterized by our forgetfulness of Krishna. So we need to cultivate that remembrance of Krishna. Right? 10th verse. It's getting too technical or philosophical. You're able to follow? Simhachalam Prabhu? Mohan Rup Prabhu? Subal Brand Prabhu? Bolo. Wait kar raha hu. No. All pervading means, I'm not saying this self is referring to super soul. Self is all pervading. Self who is expanding everywhere, that's what I was explaining. Self expanding everywhere means soul is present everywhere, sarvagataha. That's what I was saying. Right? So, what I can make out from this statement is seeing the entire world as situated within the self. So, Bhagavad Gita also some statements come like this, and even Bhagavatam also there are few other verses where you say see everything as situated within the self. So, oftentimes that self is Krishna. When you say everything is situated within the self means everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. And Krishna is situated within everything means Krishna is all pervading within the universe. Right? Krishna is all pervading within the, he is everything is present in him and he is present in everything. So that is when you say self as Krishna. And here in this particular verse, you should see the entire world as situated within the self. And you should also see the individual self within me. Here one more stage is included. World means the material world as being situated in the spirit self, and the spirit self being situated in the supreme self, supreme soul. That kind of gradation is given in this. So purport is explaining, I also need to do some research. So purport is explaining that when you say self expanded everywhere, see the nityam sarvagataha. Krishna's marginal potency is expanded everywhere. So, jivas are expanded everywhere, but it's marginal potency. That is expanded everywhere. But you see the translation, within the self who is expanded everywhere, and you should also see this individual self within me. So, PCT? That's why. But here his question is, entire world situated within the self. So what does that mean? That's your... Unless the soul exists, the material elements cannot animate. So they cannot exist. So in that sense, entire world is situated within the self. Very good. Very nice reference. Okay. So, but the basis of existence of material energy, this external world, is dependent on soul's presence in that. And the presence of the soul is present, is dependent on super soul. Fine? Others agree? Yeah, that's what we can make out from this.
Super soul is even if we take material elements, super soul is there, soul is not there. That is our concept. That the, out of 84 like species, stone and these things are not coming that category.
Species are different. We are saying about material world, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So those elements. So these elements can be animate only when soul enters. For example, this body is there. It's made of, you know, gross elements. Right? Unless the soul is there, this body cannot animate. In that sense, this material, the basis of the functioning of this material elements is dependent on the presence of soul. Like that. And the presence of soul is dependent on the super soul. Right? That's the understanding you are mentioning from Bhagavad Gita. You also.
Because we say for the Lord there is no difference between the material and the spiritual energy. But for the jiva or for us there is a difference. And when we say this, suppose this mic is there or some anything is there, there is material energy. But you are mentioning that because it's for source of potency, material potency is the Lord. It cannot be material.
So ultimately everything is spiritual, right? Even Prabhupada mentions this in a few other places. Ultimately they are coming from a spiritual source. So even material energy is also spiritual only. Simple thing, Prabhupada gives this example of electrical energy. Ultimately it is electrical energy. Whether you use that electrical energy to make ice cubes or to make hot chapatis, right? So that's up to the person how to use it. So depending on our vision, an object becomes material or spiritual, right? The utility. So we can utilize that in spiritual Lord's service or service of for some material sense gratification, like the vision part I'm saying. So, but everything is originating from the Lord. It is technically called material energy, but that material energy is that aspect of the Lord which is meant to keep people in illusion and all. But its source is spiritual. Right? So it is, for example, an incident is there. You know this popular example of Vidura and Duryodhan. So same incident. Right? On a material plane, somebody chastised someone. Right? Only the tongue is vibrating and some harsh words are coming and the ears are hearing. And then he's getting affected or whatever. But that had a spiritual effect on one person and material effect on another person. The action, that same action is a spiritual action on one person and a material action on another person. Like that. Depending on the vision, it changes the utility of that object. Okay, 11th verse. Dosha buddhyo, 10th verse. No? Jnana vijnana samyukta, atma bhutaha sharirinam, atmanubhava tushtatma, nantaraya irvihanyase.
Being fully endowed with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas and having realized the ultimate purpose of such knowledge in practice, you will be able to perceive the pure self and thus your mind will be satisfied. At that time, you will become dear to all living beings headed by the demigods and you will never be hampered by any disturbance in life.
Okay. So, when someone is endowed with Jnana Vijnana Samyukta, so he knows the theoretical knowledge and he also realizes that, practically realizes that, then what will happen is he will be able to perceive the pure self and thus your mind will be satisfied. At that time you will become dear to all living beings. Even demigods are also pleased with such a pure devotee. So as explained in Bhagavad Gita, one whose mind is free from material desires becomes disinterested in demigod worship. So the demigods, however, are never displeased with one who becomes a pure devotee of Krishna and offers all his worship to the Lord. So, you know this Rudra Gita. Yaha param brahma sa sakshat triguna jiva samgita bhagavantam vasudevam prapanna sapriyohimi. So one who is dear to Lord Vasudeva is dear to Shiva also. You remember this from Rudra Gita. So demigods also become favorable with such a devotee. Being free from envy and a well-wisher of all, such a self-realized soul is naturally dear to everyone. 11th verse. Dosha buddhyo bhaya tito nishedhan anivartate guna buddhya cha vihitam nakaroti yatharbhaka.
One who has transcended material good and evil automatically acts in accordance with religious injunctions and avoids forbidden activities. The self-realized person does this spontaneously like an innocent child and not because he is thinking in terms of material good and evil.
This is another interesting verse. So one who transcends material good and evil automatically acts in accordance with Vedic injunctions. Now in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one may be following the rules and regulations because they are mentioned in the scriptures, because Guru prescribed them, and out of a duty or out of attendance register, other kinds of reasons, one may follow them. But an advanced devotee, he may also be seemingly following all these rules and regulations, but in a more spontaneous way. So, when a neophyte practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, when he follows rules and regulations, there is a calculation involved. He is contemplating, this is good for me or this is bad for me? This is bad for my Krishna consciousness, let me avoid it. This is good for me, so let me move ahead in this direction. So like that there is a calculation involved. He has to constantly discriminate between good and bad, what is favorable and unfavorable. But when one advances, he becomes so accustomed to do only the right thing that he spontaneously avoids all bad things. He spontaneously follows all good things. Right? So one who transcends material good and evil automatically acts in accordance with the religious injunctions and avoids forbidden activities. So he need not put a special effort or endeavor to do so. It becomes spontaneous for him. He automatically does it. So, thus due to previous practice, one spontaneously avoids sinful life and acts in accordance with the standards of ordinary piety. That does not mean that the self-realized soul is consciously avoiding sin and pursuing piety. He is not pursuing piety. Just to act on pious platform has become so natural for him. He need not think twice. For example, as soon as you go into the DT room, backup room, doing achamani is the first thing that one may do. It becomes a part of his system. Someone who just enters backup room, first time he is doing some DT service there, he has to be taught, oh, you have to do achamani now. So like this. So then there is a conscious endeavor in the beginning. After some time it becomes a part of the system. Naturally they do. Now just like the external ritual becomes a part of one's system after regular practice, the internal mood also becomes a part of one system after careful introspection and then continuous practice. Like that. So externally we may do achaman, we may do other pujas and other mudras, etc., very meticulously over a period of time. But more advancement is internal mood also will become like that. Right? So such person is an advanced devotee. So all good qualities manifest in him. 12:10.
Sarvabhuta suhrutshanto jnana vijnana nischayaham pashyan madatmakam vishvam navipadyeta vaipunaha.
One who is kind, well-wisher of all living beings, who is peaceful and firmly fixed in knowledge and realization, sees me within all things. Such a person never again falls down into the cycle of birth and death.
So such a person will not fall into cycle of birth and death. So we'll take a break now. We'll continue after break.
Hare Krishna.
You're okay with that? 14th verse.
Sri Uddhava Uvacha.
Is it 14?
No, 13.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha. Ityadishto Bhagavata. Mahabhagavato Nrupa. Uddhava Pranipatyaha. Tattvam Jignasurachyutam.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, thus instructed his pure devotee Uddhava, who was eager to receive knowledge from the Lord. Uddhava then offered obeisances to the Lord and spoke as follows.
So when Krishna spoke, Uddhava is responding now.
Uddhava Pranipatyaha Tattvam Jignasur Achyutam.
Uddhava offered obeisances, Pranipatyaha. Then Tattvam Jignasur, he has become very eager to know the Tattva, the truth.
So that indicates that Krishna is about to leave the earth and Uddhava is more anxious to deepen his understanding about Krishna so that he may further advance in loving service to Krishna's feet. So unlike an ordinary philosopher, a pure devotee is not eager to acquire knowledge just for some personal sense gratification. So one may feel so special and great just by having knowledge about 100 other things. But a devotee is not so eager to acquire so much of information and knowledge just for the sake of becoming a possessor of knowledge. He wants to utilize that knowledge to render service to Krishna. He wants to deepen his connection with Krishna, deepen his devotion with Krishna. That's the purpose for which Uddhava is inquiring.
Sri Uddhava Uvacha.
So this purport serves as a nice prelude to what Uddhava is going to ask from now. So far he was expressing his feelings of separation from Krishna. And suddenly when Krishna started speaking in a philosophical way, Uddhava started asking so many questions. So this is the beginning of a series of questions. Uddhava's questions will begin in 7th chapter and will end in 29th chapter. Question after question, question after question. So many questions he will ask. There is Sankhya here, Jnana is here, Varnashram is there, Bhakti Yoga is there, then Karma Yoga is there, Vedic rules and regulations are there. So very variety of topics you will learn in this 23 chapters of Uddhava Gita. So, but the purpose of all these questions is to deepen his love for Krishna. Nothing to just acquire knowledge is not his purpose. So very beautiful lines in this purport. Uddhava is more anxious to deepen his understanding of the Lord so that he may further advance in loving service to the Lord. Unlike an ordinary philosopher or scholar, a pure devotee is not eager to acquire knowledge for personal gratification. We see so many people reading Bhagavad Gita and some reading newspapers and magazines and just unnecessarily inquiring about so many things, right? Hardly any of those inquiries are related to serving Krishna. But people keep inquiring and updating their knowledge. Every day they read newspaper, right? Every day they visit so many websites. For what purpose? Just to update their system with more information. But where is a Krishna conscious purpose there? But when a devotee inquires, right? Devotee, when he asks a philosophical inquiry or he goes to market and asks something, how much is this cloth for? He wants to make dresses for the Lord. How much are these flowers and vegetables for? He wants to cook for the Lord or offer flowers to the Lord. So when a devotee is inquiring, his inquiries are meant for his service to Krishna. So we also need to ensure that whatever I'm asking, whatever I'm trying to know, whatever information I'm trying to gather, is it deepening my loving service to Krishna or just increasing my knowledge or information only? So that should be the focus of a devotee. We learned it from Uddhava. Shri Uddhava Uvacha. యోగేశ యోగ విన్యాస యోగాత్మన్ యోగ సంభవ నిశ్రేయసాయ మే ప్రోక్త త్యాగ సన్యాస లక్షణ.
శ్రీ ఉద్ధవ్ సేడ్, మై డియర్ లార్డ్, యూ అలోన్ అవార్డ్ ద రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ యోగా ప్రాక్టీస్ అండ్ యు ఆర్ సో కైండ్ దాట్ బై యువర్ ఓన్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ యూ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూట్ ద పర్ఫెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ యోగా టు యువర్ డివోటీ. దస్ యు ఆర్ ద సుప్రీమ్ సోల్ హూ ఇస్ రియలైజ్ త్రూ యోగా అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యూ హూ ఆర్ ద ఒరిజిన్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ మిస్టిక్ పవర్. ఫార్ మై సుప్రీమ్ బెనిఫిట్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ద ప్రొసీజర్ ఫార్ గివింగ్ అప్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ త్రూ ద ప్రొసెస్ ఆఫ్ సన్యాస్ ఆర్ రినౌన్సియేషన్.
Uddhava is glorifying Krishna. Yogesha, yoga vinyasa. Yogatman, yoga sambhava. So Yogesha means Krishna is the giver of all the results of yoga. Yoga Isha. Then yoga vinyasa means he has the power to bestow this yoga even on unqualified people. He has full controllership over the yoga. Then యోగాత్మన్ మీన్స్ హీ ఈజ్ ద లార్డ్ హూ కెన్ బి రియలైజ్డ్ బై యోగ. యోగ సంభవ, సంభవ మీన్స్ అపియరెన్స్, బర్త్. సో కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ది ఆరిజిన్ ఆర్ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ బర్త్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద యోగిక్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్, రైట్? యోగేశ, యోగ విన్యాస, యోగాత్మన్, యోగ సంభవ. సో హీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ హిమ్ లైక్ దట్. అండ్ నిశ్రేయసాయ మే ప్రోక్త త్యాగ సన్యాస లక్షణ. నిశ్రేయస ఫర్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్, ఫర్ మై వెల్ఫేర్ ప్రోక్త యు హ్యావ్ స్పోకెన్ వాట్ త్యాగ సన్యాస లక్షణ. యు హ్యావ్ స్పోకెన్ అబౌట్ రినన్సియేషన్ ఆర్ సన్యాస, డిటాచ్డ్ విజన్, ఈక్వల్ విజన్, ఆల్ దట్ యు హ్యావ్ బీన్ స్పీకింగ్ టు మీ ఫర్ మై ఓన్ వెల్ఫేర్. సో హీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ హిమ్ ఫర్ దట్. సో యోగా మీన్స్ లింకింగ్ అప్. So in the material world, we falsely try to link ourselves with the objects of the senses. Man wants to link with a woman, woman wants to link with a man, or one tries to link up with nationalism, socialism, capitalism, and innumerable other creations of illusory energy. Since we are linking ourselves to temporary objects, the relationships are temporary. So when can a relationship be permanent? When that relationship is connecting two permanent objects. But if this object itself is temporary, how can my relationship with that object be permanent? So if the object is temporary, my relationship with that object is also temporary, because the object itself is temporary. So this socialism, nationalism, connection with opposite sex, all these are temporary, because those situations are all temporary. So what happens is the results are temporary, and at the time of death we become bewildered when all our connections are suddenly cut off by Maya. If we link ourselves to Krishna, our relationship with him will continue even after death. A material relationship is terminated at the time of death. A relationship with Krishna continues even after death, even after the death of Brahma also. Even after lifetimes also it will continue. So better invest in a permanent thing. So we are taught in our childhood that you study very nicely and get a government job. That is permanent job. If you get a private job, you may lose it at any time. Company may be closed. Your returns may not be, your benefits may not be proper. You may not get so much leave, but government job is temporary, permanent job. So that's how we are taught, right? Within the temporariness also there is some permanentness, permanency, whatever. So now better invest in Krishna. That is permanent relationship. All other relationships are temporary. So those who sincerely serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the transcendental lifestyle prescribed by the Lord, will enter the Lord's abode at the end of this lifetime. So by the methods of Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc., one does not actually awaken his propensity for rendering eternal loving service. to Krishna. Thus, one is bereft of transcendental tastes of spiritual enjoyment. 15th verse. So, when you say yogesha, yoga, vinyasa, etc., if that is bhakti yoga, then the linking up process is effective. If it is other yogas, karma yoga, hatha yoga, other yogas, then it's not effective. They cannot enable us or invoke our loving propensity towards Krishna. Tyagoyam dushkaro bhuman kamanam vishayatmabhi sutaram tvayi sarvatman abhaktair iti me matihi.
My dear Lord, O Supreme Soul, for those whose minds are attached to sense gratification and especially for those bereft of the devotion unto you, such a renunciation of material enjoyment is most difficult to perform. That is my opinion.
So although you spoke about this tyaga, what is the last line? Tyagaha sannyasa lakshanaha, that you have spoken. But tyagoyam dushkaro bhuman, O Supreme Lord, this tyaga becomes very difficult. It's not very easy. Kamanam vishayatmabhihi, for those who are absorbed in vishaya, material sense objects, this tyaga becomes extremely difficult. Someone who is so attached to, say, smartphone, always on WhatsApp, for him you say, you give him that small dabba phone where he has to type the SMS, just one line SMS, he'll take 1 minute, 2 minutes. So he becomes very frustrated and restless. Similarly, someone who is very absorbed in vishaya, vishayatma bhihi, tyaga becomes dushkara for him. Right? And especially for those bereft of devotion to you, sutaram tvayi sarvatman abhaktair iti me matihi. Abhaktair, one who is bereft of devotion to you, such a renunciation is most difficult to perform. This is my opinion. It's extremely difficult. So, Uddhava is actually expressing his humility. This is not his situation actually. This is the situation of people in general. Right? Those who are truly devoted to the Lord do not accept anything for their personal sense gratification. But they offer everything for, they accept everything for Krishna service. So here Vishayatma bhi indicates those who desire material objects for their personal sense gratification instead of devotional service of the Lord. That is Vishayatma bhi. The real meaning of Vishayatma bhi means they desire objects for their own gratification. So for them, renunciation is very difficult. So ham mama ham iti moodhamatir vigadha tvanmayaya virachita atmani sanubandhe tatvanjasani gaditam bhavata yathaham samsadhyayami bhagavan anusadhi bhrityam.
Oh my Lord, I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations, which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. Thus I am thinking I am this body and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions.
Now, Vidura, Uddhava is putting himself in the role of a Vishayatma bhihi, or someone who is modhamatir, foolish materialistic mentality, and someone who has this aham mameti conception. So he is, out of his humility, he is saying like that. So aham mamaham iti modhamatir vigadha tvan mayaya varichita atma is anubandhe. I am caught up in so many temporary relationships and aham mameti conception and materialistic consciousness. Tatvanjasa nigaditam bhavata yathaham samsadhayami bhagavan anusadhi bhrityam. So please tell me, how can I easily carry out your instructions? You have spoken about renunciation, but renunciation seems to be extremely difficult for me because of our because of my conditioned mentality, mamaham conception. So devotee, although he is so advanced in his consciousness of being devoted to Krishna, still devotee always thinks that there is something lacking in my consciousness. I am still attached. I am not sufficiently renounced, or I am not qualified for renunciation. He will think like that. Although Kunti Maharani is so devoted to Krishna, she says, I am so attached to my family. Please cut these knots of bondage to my family. Sneha pasam imam chindi dridham pandushu vrishnishu. How did it begin? Atha vishvesha vishvatman vishvamurte svakeshume. Sneha pasam imam chindi dridham pandushu vrishnishu. So I am very attached to my family because I am thinking, my dear Lord, if you are here, I am thinking Pandavas will be benefited. But I am worried that Vrishnis may not be benefited. And I am also thinking, if you go from here, go from Hastinapur, Vrishnis will be happy, but Pandavas will get affected. So I am thinking about the welfare of my in-laws' family and parents' family. I am just caught up in this, what is that called, partialities because of my families. So my connection with my family members, whether parents' family or son's family, I am like quite caught up in this. So sneha pasham imam chindi dridham pandushu vrishnishu. So my connection with Vrishnis and Pandus, you have to cut down. And her intention is, you cut down that material aspect of our connection. Pandavas are devotees. Vrishnis are devotees. And I want their relationship in that mood of being devotees, right? That devotional relationship I want. But there is a material aspect to our relationship as a family member. So that you cut. So whatever is favorable for my being with you, so that should be there. Whatever is unfavorable, that should be completely wiped out. So here he is also saying, please tell me, how can I very easily carry out your instructions? Because I am this body, all these relatives are mine, so I am in that conception. So even Devahuti also asked, how do I attain your lotus feet? Please tell me that process by which I can easily attain your lotus feet. That's what she says, she asks. It is very difficult to give up false identification with the material body. And thus we remain attached to our so-called bodily relations, such as wife, children, etc. So, Uddhava, a pure devotee, here speaks like an ordinary person showing how to pray to the Lord. It is not Uddhava's condition that is being described here, it is our condition. So we have to learn the art of prayer from Uddhava. So Uddhava is being repentant for his consciousness of Aham Mameti. Such a repentant, eager mentality is most auspicious for spiritual advancement. So because I am so attached, I become regretful and repentant. And because I am very eager to reconnect with you, Krishna, I am praying for your mercy. So these two things, repentance and eagerness, both are very conducive for spiritual advancement. So Lord certainly answers the prayers of such a devotee. Renounced order in relationship with family. So on all practical grounds, we are taught to be nice to our family members and kind to them, and you may visit once in a while, not for a long time, maybe once in a year, couple of days, and you focus on your service. Right, so that's what is recommended. Engaging so much in the family affairs, going deep into the family relationships and affairs and participating in the social functions and all that is not very much recommended. Yeah, we see from Mahaprabhu, he would meet Sachi Mata at Shantipur and then he never met his wife. So, sannyasi will never meet his wife, previous wife. And parents, maybe once in a while. Any other examples that you can recollect? Any other sannyasi? His relationship with family. I am not recollecting anything. They can meet their parents, but not for long periods. Just maybe a day, something like that. Keeping it brief. Not entering deep into the family affairs. But being nice to them, not ridiculing them, not abusing them. Yeah, Maya. This is not mother, this is Maya. So that is all. That's fanatic approach is not recommended, but you can be kind to them. 17th verse. Satyasya te svadrisha atmana atmanonyam vaktaramisha vibudheshvapinanu chakshe sarve vimohita dhiyastava maya yeme ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृतो बहिरर्थ भावः सत्यस्य ते स्वदृश आत्मन आत्मनोन्यम् वक्तारमीश विबुधेष्वपि नानुचक्षे सर्वे विमोहित धियस्तव मायये मे ब्रह्मादयस्तनुभृतो बहिरर्थ भावः.
My dear Lord, you are the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and you reveal yourself to your devotees. Beside your lordship, I do not see anyone who can actually explain perfect knowledge to me. Such a perfect teacher is not to be found even among the demigods in heaven. Indeed, all of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are bewildered by your illusory potency. They are conditioned souls who accept their own material bodies and bodily expansions to be the highest truth.
So this is another beautiful verse where Uddhava is glorifying Krishna as the supreme teacher. Right. Satyasya te svadrisha atmana atmano anyam. I don't see anyone else who is capable of educating me. Right, it's not very easy to find another teacher who is as capable as you. Even Arjuna says, Nahi prapashyami mamapanudyam yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam. I'm not seeing any other solution apart from approaching you. Right? So, Devahuti also says, Kapila, you are Yoga Bhaskara. Only you can answer all my questions about yoga. No one else can answer. So Uddhava is expressing his confidence upon Krishna as a supreme teacher. Vaktaram isha vibhudheshu apinanu chakshe. So you are the greatest vakta. Vaktaram. Vaktaram is qualified speaker. Best teacher. So Krishna is the best teacher. And even the great demigods also cannot compare with your ability to teach transcendental knowledge. Why? Because demigods themselves are bewildered by your maya. Sarve vimohita dhiyastava maya yete. Everybody is vimohita, bewildered by your maya. Even demigods. Brahmadayastanu bhruto. Even Brahma and all the embodied beings are bewildered by your maya. And what is the proof for their bewilderment? Bahir artha bhavaha. Bahir means external things. Artha means purpose, meaning. they consider external things as meaningful and purposeful and good things. Right? That is their bhava, that is their emotion, that is their mood. Because of that, they cannot be qualified teachers. You are the qualified teacher. So the purport explains about the demigods and their position. So demigods have a tendency to control. That's why they are given. And they also want to serve the Lord. That's why they are given the opportunity to serve the Lord and control the material nature simultaneously. Their controllership over the material nature becomes their service to the Lord. They are made managers of this cosmic administrative system. So universal management, constantly utilize their fabulous material potencies. So because the demigods are attached to ruling the created universe, their devotion to Krishna is often tinged with material desires. Because their focus is not just service. They want to serve, definitely, but they also want to enjoy themselves. They are attached to material enjoyment. They are attached to their posts. Indra is so attached to his post. So that makes them mixed devotees. That puts them in the category of mixed devotees, not pure devotees. So Uddhava desires to return to the kingdom of God. So these first class prisoners, like the demigods, cannot educate him, cannot enlighten him. The Lord is Svadrishaha, or one who reveals himself to his devotee. Thus only the Lord himself, or a pure devotee of the Lord, not mixed devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, who faithfully repeats Lord's message, can take one beyond the material sky, can take one back to Godhead. So here is a devotee who is desiring to go back to Godhead. Who can help him? Krishna can help him. Or a pure devotee of Krishna, not a mixed devotee of Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna can help him go back to Godhead. So that is the intent of this purport. Now Uddhava is offering another heartfelt prayer. Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvajnam ishvaram akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam nirvinnadhiraha muhe vrijina abhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvajnam ishvaram akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam sarvajnam ishvaram akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam nirvinnadhir ahamuhe vrijina abhitapto nirvinnadhir ahamuhe vrijina abhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye together tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvagnam ishvaram akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam nirvinnadhirahamuhe vrijina abhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvagnam ishvaram akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam nirvinnadhirahamuhe vrijina abhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye. Here Uddhava is saying, he is glorifying the Lord in five ways. And he is presenting his condition in two ways. And finally, he is surrendering unto the Lord. First he said, tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam. First word is, bhavantam my Lord, you are anavadyam. Anavadya means perfect, faultless Lord. In this material world, there are so many masters that take care of so many dependents. But none of them are so faultless. they themselves are having so many faults. But Krishna is that one master who is absolutely faultless, who is completely perfect. That's why he is called Anavadyam. So whenever we are trying to surrender to a master, if you are fortunate enough to get a master who is completely perfect, who is very friendly, who is capable of giving shelter to people, who is not having any faults, such a master is like we are eager to surrender to such a master, right? Someone who has faults, someone who is not capable of giving protection, someone who is selfish, someone who mistreats his servant. So such a master is not chosen generally, right? So Krishna is such a master who is having all these qualities. So first quality is anavadyam, right? No faults. And anantaparam. And although sometimes Krishna exhibits some faults, they are actually special ornaments in his character. They are not actually faults. Sometimes Krishna may steal butter from others' houses, which is considered a big fault. Stealing, becoming a thief, is considered a big fault in any ordinary human being. But when Krishna does it, it's not a fault, it's a very special ornament in his character. Sometimes Krishna cries, Damodar Leela. But it's not a fault, it is special ornament. Sometimes Lord becomes angry, Ram becomes angry. Ram started lamenting when Sita was kidnapped by Mother Sita. It's not a fault, it's a special ornament. So Krishna, when he is seemingly exhibiting certain faults in his character and dealings with other people, they are not faults. Krishna is exhibiting those apparent faults just to reciprocate with some of his special devotees. That is the purpose of his exhibiting certain faults. Right? So Krishna is a faultless master, as Uddhava says, anavadyam. And anantaparam, anta means ending. Generally this word anta is used to indicate end of time. End of time. Param means the expanse of space. Right, param means spatially Krishna is all pervading. Time wise Krishna is present in all phases, past, present and future. Past means past 100 years, past 200 years, not like that, since time immemorial and for the rest of eternity. So Krishna is anantaparam. Krishna is unlimited both in space and time. Right, this is clear? Anantaparam. Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam. Then sarvagnam. So no other master in this world is so unlimited. We are coming back to anantaparam. No other master in this world is unlimited that he exists for the rest of eternity. One may go and surrender to a master who is a demigod. For example, say he goes to Kartikeya or Ganeshji or some Baba, someone else. They are all considered masters. But will they exist like this for the rest of eternity? Or at least will they exist till the end of Kali Yuga? Let's speak about why eternity. Speak about some 4 lakh years. Will they exist? Will they exist for 100 years ahead? No. So they are not unlimited in time. Second, are they unlimited in space? So this master whom I am surrendering to, he is existing here, but is he accessible to him who is staying in Delhi, right? Maybe some 1,000 kilometers from here. No, he is not unlimited in space. He is limited in space. He is existing at one time here only. So no master in this material world is unlimited in time and unlimited in space. So Krishna is accessible anywhere, from anywhere and everywhere and at any time. So from this material universe you can access Krishna. From a different material universe you can access Krishna. And from spiritual world you can access Krishna. And within this material world, from India you can access Krishna. From America you can access Krishna. From Andaman you can access Krishna. So Krishna is accessible from anywhere. And Krishna is accessible when? Is he accessible only in the morning? Is he accessible only in Kali Yuga or Satyuga, Dvaita Yuga? Is he accessible only in this day of Brahma? is there in next day of Brahma also, next creation also. So Krishna is Anantaparam, unlimitedly available, accessible. So that's why he is unlimited in space and time. No other master is like this. Then Sarvagnam, Krishna knows everything. When a devotee renders some service, Krishna immediately takes note out of it. So when you say Sarvagnam, when somebody is all-knowing, when a master is all-knowing, as far as information is concerned, he may be knowing everything. He may be knowing in and out. But Krishna's knowing doesn't stop at just becoming aware. Krishna's knowing is associated with a feeling of gratitude. I know how much this devotee is extending himself to render service to me. Krishna becomes grateful to that devotee. And how long he is grateful? Not for 1 week or 10 days. He is grateful for the rest of eternity. And if you know something, you should be able to remember it also. I know it, but I am forgetting. Sometimes in classes also, somebody may ask some question and then, yeah, I read it, I know it, but I am forgetting, I am unable to recollect. This happens, right? You know it. You have written in exam. You got 50 out of 50. After 1 month, you ask about what is the verse. Yeah, but I forgot. But Krishna is not like that. Sarvagnam means he knows everything and his knowledge remains for the rest of eternity. And he remains grateful for it. When you know about it, not only that you remember it, there are feelings associated with it. So knowing is at one level. Remembering whatever you know, that's at another level. That also still on the intellectual platform or whatever. But Krishna puts his heart and emotions into it. He becomes grateful. He knows everything that a devotee does. A master, ordinary master, may forget our service, may become ungrateful. But Krishna remembers the service. He becomes grateful to that service. And not just gratitude. It's not passive gratitude feeling. He reciprocates also. He knows, he remembers, he becomes grateful, and he reciprocates. He benefits the devotee. So he can never forget the service of his devotee. Therefore, he is never ungrateful. So Krishna does not... And one more thing. When you know something, you may know everything. Right? About this person, I know. In our monthly review, we may give ratings. Right? In this 1 month, I have observed this person. So these things are there. These are positive things. These are negative things. So many things are there. But Krishna is such a personality. Although he knows in and out about a person, he has the heart to ignore the negative attributes of a person and focus only on the positive attributes and find every reason to give him mercy and not degrade him. So he does not remember the faults. Although he knows our faults, he forgets the faults. He has the willingness to ignore our faults and he has the willingness to remember only the sincere service that has been rendered by the devotee. That is Sarvagna. Next, Ishwaram. Ishwaram means supreme controller. So Krishna is the supreme controller. Right? A further disadvantage in serving anyone besides Krishna is that when we are in danger, our master, the masters in this material world may not be able to protect us. One may surrender to a master who may be a father of the family or boss of a company, or the king of a city, or there could be so many other masters. So how much they can offer protection depends on how much they can control. What is the circle of their influence? Now, Ishvara means controller, master. If one surrenders to one Ishvara, his zone of control is maybe within this one small area only, right? And in a different area, if you are caught up in some other problem, his influence may not be able to protect you. Take any master in this material world. His influence is not all-pervading. His controllership is not all-pervading. So he has control over only a small zone. Within that, he may be able to offer you protection for some time. But Krishna is Ishwaram, Parameshwaram, Sarveshwaram, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So his protection is permanent. right? That is about Ishwaram. So demigods, family, they all cannot do. They cannot give protection. So Krishna's promise for protection to his devotees is never invalid. When he promises, I protect you, then he will never withdraw that promise because he is capable. He is not giving any fake promise. He is not giving a post-dated check. He has the capacity to protect also. So no expiry date for this promise. It's insurance for eternity, right? No expiry date. So tarunam ramaniyangam arunoshthekshanadharam pranatashrayanam ramnam sharanyam karunarnavam. So he offers protection because he is an ocean of mercy. He doesn't protect people just as a matter of duty. He doesn't protect his devotees because he is working in my company only. Let me give protection. So in this material world, the master may protect a dependent just out of sheer obligation. But Krishna, his protection is associated with a feeling, with an emotion, with love, with affection. That kind of master, Ishwaram. Next, akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam. Another beautiful aspect, Krishna, fifth aspect. So Krishna is staying in Vaikuntha or Goloka. He is staying in the spiritual world. Akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam means his abode is never affected by any miseries, right? Unless the master himself is situated in a comfortable position, in a safe position, in a fearless position, how can he award any fearlessness to his dependents? But Krishna is situated in akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam. He is in the spiritual abode, which is where there is no trace of any misery, where there is no trace of any ignorance or darkness. So because he is so capable, he is so sufficient, self-sufficient, he can also protect his dependents like that. That's why he is called akuntha vikuntha dhishnyam. The faithful servants of Krishna will certainly go back to Godhead, back home. But demigods, they cannot offer such a protection. So for these five reasons, we can choose only Krishna as our master. We need not choose anyone else. So that is the explanation for Uddhava's first two lines. Master means no faults, not limited, doesn't forget, capable of giving protection. Next, what is Uddhava's position? He glorified Krishna's position in five ways. What is his position? Nirvinnadhir ahamuhe vrijinabhitaptu. In two words he says, Nirvinnadhir. My dear Lord, my dhir, my intelligence or my mind is nirvinna. I am developing feelings of detachment, renunciation. Right? Nirvinna dhir. In a mood of detachment, I am surrendering unto you. Then vrijina abhitapto. Vrijina means miseries, right? Material distress. Abhitapta means he is tormented. He is thoroughly tormented by material miseries. Second is nirvinna dhir. He is in a very renounced mentality, detached mood. So these two are very conducive situations for a devotee to surrender to Krishna. You are so capable, master. I described you in five ways. And I am such a fallen servant who is in a renounced spirit and who is tormented by material distress. Just like in Damodara Ashtakam, he says, Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. What is the next line? Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinam Batano Grihanesha Ma Magnam Edi Akshidrushe. He says, Namo Deva, O Lord, Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu. He called him with so many names. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho. Again, Prabho, fifth name. Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. Dukha Magnam means I am immersed in distress. Dukha Jala means in a network of miseries. Dukha is misery. Dukha Jala means network of miseries. Dukha Jalabdhi. In an ocean of network of miseries. Dukha Jala Abdhi Magnam. And Kripa Drishti Vrishtiyati, please show your Kripa, please shower your merciful glances. Deenam, Kripa Drishti Vrishtya Ati Deenam, not Deenam, Ati Deenam, very poor, very fallen. Ati Deenam Batano, and he didn't stop there. First he said, Dukkha Jalabdhi Magnam. Second he said, Ati Deenam. In the third line he says, Deenam Batano, Grihanesha Mam Agnam. I am so ignorant. So please show yourself to me. Akshi Drishtehi. One is I am absorbed in misery. Second is I am very fallen. Third is I am ignorant also. I cannot get up on my own. So you only have to show mercy. So here he is also saying similar things. Right? I am Nirvinnadhir and Vrijinabhitapto. I am absorbed in miseries and I am developing some feelings of disgust and detachment and renunciation. So this is the right conducive position where you can give me your mercy. Narayanam Narasakham Sharanam Prapadye. O Narayana, you are Narasakha. You are the friend of Nara. Not only Nara Rishi, you are friend of every human being here. Nara means you are Nara, I am Nara, he is Nara, everybody is Nara. Narasakham Sharanam Prapadye. I am offering obeisances to you and I am taking your shelter. So like that, Uddhava surrendered himself to Krishna. In material world, a great man does not have time for an insignificant man. Now you see another point. The contrast between Uddhava's position or our position and Krishna's position is very graphically mentioned in this verse. Where is Krishna? Krishna is anavadyam, anantaparam, sarvagnam, ishwaram, akuntha, vikuntha, dhishnyam. Krishna is somewhere there only. And I am Vrijinabhitapto and Nirvinnadhir. The difference or the distance between Krishna and me is like so much. In this material world, an ordinary master, he cannot give his attention and time to a very poor dependent. The boss of a company which has turnover of, $1,000,000,000 per month or whatever per year. So he may not be able to give time to a peon in the company whose salary is maybe 100 rupees per day or 200 rupees per day. That he may not be able to give him that much time. But Krishna is not such a master. He can give time to his personal secretary also. That boss, CEO company boss, he will give time to personal secretary. He may not give time to peon. But Krishna is not like that. He can give to such a low, fallen condition person also. Nirvanadhir, Vrijinabhitapto also deserve Krishna's time and attention. Right? So he sits in the heart of every living entity. And thus he is most merciful. Nara, or the Lord's Purusha expansion, who creates the material world. The living entity is also called Nara, and the source of material situation is Nara. So Nara is both Mahavishnu and the living entity. Narayana indicates that even Mahavishnu finds his shelter in Krishna, who is certainly supreme. Taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of devotional service to Krishna and obeying him. So, and if we comply with the order of Krishna, our life becomes fully auspicious and successful. Yes, yana vrittya kritino bhabhuvima. You remember this? To attain success, one has to follow the injunctions of Krishna. You remember? Yasya anuvrittya kritino bhabhuvima. All the Dwarakavasis say, bhavayanastvam bhavavishva bhavana tvameva mathata suhurt patuhpita tvam sadgurur naha paramam cha daivatam yasya anuvrittya kritino bhabhuvima. Now Krishna is responding. Sri Bhagavan uvacha prayena manuja loke lokatattva vichakshanah samuddharanti hyatmanam atman atmanaiva shubhashayat.
The Supreme Lord replied, generally those human beings who can expertly analyze the actual situation of the material world are able to raise themselves beyond the inauspicious life of gross material gratification.
So this is another this is basically Krishna is giving a prelude to the episode of 24 Gurus now. So 24 gurus is nothing but one guru. One's own intelligence can be one's guru. One can become one's own guru. That is the theme of this. So by rational analysis of this material nature, you can learn a lot of lessons from this nature. So this Avadhut Brahman is there. He has seen 24 things in the surroundings and then he has learned various lessons. So he is saying, human beings can expertly analyze the actual situation of material world and are able to raise themselves beyond the inauspicious life. Right? Loka tattva vichakshanaha. Vichakshanaha means knowing expertly by proper deliberation and intelligence and careful consideration. That is vichakshanaha. Loka tattva vichakshanaha. You see the loka, the world around you, and then do some vichakshan and then try to gain, learn lessons. Samuddharanti hi atmanam. Samuddharanti means one has to deliver themselves. Atmanam, one's own selves are delivered by, like themselves only, by loka tattva vichakshanaha. So now Krishna is reassuring Uddhava that even persons far less qualified than Uddhava are able to extricate themselves from inauspicious life of material sense gratification. What to speak of you, Uddhava? Right? So even if one has not received instructions from a bona fide spiritual master, one can understand by direct and indirect analysis of the world. What is direct analysis? One's own personal experience. He will see the plants and then analyzes. Oh, how is the plant growing? Plant is growing like this, and this plant has this shape, the other plant has that shape. The shape of the leaf of this plant is different from the shape of the leaf of other plant. The shape of the flower and the color of the flower of this plant is different from the other plant. Who has managed this whole thing? Who has given this plant the potency to give a flower like this with a specific fragrance and color and shape and size? So there must be somebody who designed it. Who is the designer? Is that called God? People are calling God, God is there. Is that God is the designer for this? Okay, what else he designed? So let me check out. So he goes ahead. He sees some birds. And then he sees so many animals. Oh, this animal is behaving in a peculiar way. And then he observes that animal. And seeing the movements of that animal, he will learn so many life lessons. Oh, this is giving me this message. But who has given, empowered that animal with that potency to behave in such a way? He sees up. Clouds are there. Oh, clouds are so wonderful. Now they are carrying so much of water. I can see when it rains. But they don't fall down. Gravitational force doesn't work on the cloud or what? Right? Only water comes. So how can just, as if it's like a cotton swab, how can the cloud just move from one place to another place? Although it is carrying, you know, millions of liters of water within the cloud. So he just goes into a contemplation and then tries to understand how these things are functioning, and any sane man, intelligent man with some common sense will come to a conclusion that there must be somebody behind this whole cosmic administration. Who is that somebody? Can someone tell me about this? So he will just search, and then someone will say, reveal to him something, God. And he will end up, if he's a genuine person, if he's genuinely seeking the source of all these functionings of material nature, he will end up in the association of a devotee. So then devotees will enlighten him further and take him to bhakti yoga. So just by taking shelter of one's own rational, analytical capacity and common sense and intelligence, anyone can come to a conclusion that there is a God behind this functioning of this material nature, and that will bring him eventually to the association of devotees who will enlighten him more about God. Right, so that is the theme of this 24 Gurus episode. So direct analysis means one's personal experience, and indirect analysis means hearing and reading from the experiences of others. So either by direct analysis or indirect analysis, one can receive knowledge without a guru also. So Chakravartipa says that Krishna considered Uddhava to be more intelligent than even the demigods. So Uddhava should not feel discouraged, thinking himself unqualified for bhakti. But Uddhava was actually perfectly situated because he has achieved Krishna as his personal spiritual master. So the members of ISKCON should never feel discouraged, but rather count his blessings and do the needful to go back to Godhead. Count one's blessings and do the needful to go back to Godhead. Even if one is expert not only in material knowledge but also in spiritual knowledge, one will enter into the darkness of ignorance if one neglects the association of devotees. So this whole episode will in one sense gives a message that without a guru you can depend on your own intelligence and learn lessons of life. But as I presented, if one is sincerely seeking that knowledge, he will not continue to depend on his own intelligence. At one point, he will develop an impetus to go to people who have more knowledge about it, if he's a sincere seeker. That will bring him to association of devotees. This episode of 24 Gurus will not eliminate the need for a guru. It will emphasize the need for guru. So that is the theme. So vichakshana, or expert, will eventually come to the understanding of the differences between matter and spirit. Such a person will certainly recognize and appreciate a genuine spiritual master. Next, Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshataha Yat Pratyakshanumanabhyam Shreyosav Anuvindate.
An intelligent person, expert in perceiving the world around him and in applying sound logic, can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. Thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master.
Own guru. So, thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. Atmano guru ratmaiva. So, avadhuta. So, in this chapter, you see a conversation between King Yadu, Yadu Maharaj, and an Avadhut Brahman. So, a sensitive, reasonable person can acquire real knowledge and happiness simply by carefully observing the world around him. By observing the happiness and distress of other living entities, one can understand what is beneficial and what is destructive. That is the theme of 24 Gurus. So, now the knowledge acquired by one's own perception and intelligence leads one to appreciate the value of representative of Lord Krishna. The word Shreyaha. So now, if he is a genuine person, if he sees, I am able to acquire some knowledge from this phenomena that I am observing in this material world, there must be people who know better than this. If he is a genuine person, he would approach such people. Then he will learn more. So he will appreciate the bona fide representative of Krishna better if he is trying to genuinely learn from his intelligence. The word Shreyas in this verse indicates that one can advance in life through one's own intelligence. By good association, one should gradually come to understand one's eternal position as servant of Krishna. And thus, one becomes very eager to live in the company of other enlightened persons. Birds of a feather flock together. Thus, by one's sensitive and rational observation of this material world, one should come to appreciate the value of spiritual life in the association of devotees. That is the key.
Purushatve cha mam dhiraha Sankhya yoga visharadaha Avistaram prapashyanti Sarvashaktyupa brahmhitam.
In the human form of life, those who are self-controlled and expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya can directly see me along with all of my potencies.
So, Sankhya Yoga Visharadaha means Visharadaha, means expert in the science of Sankhya. So, in the spiritual science composed of analytical knowledge and devotion to the Supreme. So, we know the theme of the Sankhya mentioned by Lord Kapila in the third canto is heavily loaded with Bhakti Yoga. Right? It's not mere analysis of material elements. There is a lot of bhakti. The conclusion is bhakti. The solid conclusion of the Sankhya system enunciated by Kapila is surrender unto the lotus feet of pure devotees and love of Godhead. Okay, so that verse is quoted. Nirvinna netaram bhuman asadindriya tarshanat. Devahuti says this verse. I am sick of this material life, material senses. I am surrendering unto you. Please show me the way for enlightenment. She says. So acting as one's own guru means what? A spiritual master becomes bona fide by his full surrender to his spiritual master. But as explained in this chapter, one may also act as one's own guru. That means that an intelligent and perceptive person can understand the nature of this world and his own limitations. Such a person then becomes very much inclined to associate with pure devotees and to receive mercy of those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. So Chakravartipal says, Sankhya Yoga as described here refers to rigorous intellectual progress of Jnana Yoga system, although with the devotion of Bhakti Yoga, which emphasizes the mercy of lotus feet of pure devotees, along with Bhakti Yoga. So Jnana is there and Bhakti is also there. So when you say Sankhya here, that includes the shelter of pure devotees, that includes Jnana, knowledge, that includes Bhakti and association of devotees. So all four are included. Next, 22nd verse.
Ekadvitri chatushpado bahupadas tathapada bahvyah santipurah srishtah tasam me paurushi priyah.
In this world, there are many kinds of created bodies, some with one leg, others with two, three, four or more legs, and still others with no legs. But of all these, the human form is actually dear to me.
So, eka, dvi, tri, chatuh, pado. There are different living entities with one leg, two leg, four leg, eight leg, six leg. Different kinds of forms are there. Of all these living forms, human form of life is very dear to Krishna. Why? The purpose of creation is what? To reclaim the conditioned souls. And from where that reclaiming process will happen? From human life. So whom will he first reclaim? Human beings. Because after a lot of evolution, they will come to human species, and human species they will be able to practice Bhakti Yoga. Right? In general. Even an elephant or a dog or cat also may go directly back to Godhead. If Mahaprabhu engages the dog in Sankirtan. So in general, humans have a better facility, right, to go back to Godhead. So even the gradation of living entities that Rishabhadev gives or Lord Kapila gives, human beings are much superior to all the other lower species. So Krishna also says that they are very dear to me. 23rd verse.
Atramamrugayantyadham
yuktahetubhirishwaram Grihyamanair gunair lingair agrahyam anumanata.
Although I, the Supreme Lord, can never be captured by ordinary sense perception, those situated in human life may use their intelligence and other faculties of perception to directly search for me through both apparent and indirectly ascertained symptoms.
So he says, Hetubhi and Anumanabhi. Anumanataha. So Hetubhi is apparent symptoms. Anumanataha means process of logical deduction. Earlier also it's mentioned, right? Yat Pratyaksha Anumanabhyam. Pratyaksha. Directly seeing. Direct analysis. Anumanabhyam. Indirect analysis. Or logic. Application of logic. Deducing something. So, the devotees of the Lord do not abandon their intelligence and become mindless fanatics, as some fools think. So, devotees also apply their logic and intelligence to understand things. They don't sentimentally perform some process. So, as indicated by the words Anumanataha and Gunair Lingai, a devotee engaged in Bhakti Yoga intensely searches out the personality of Godhead. through all the rational faculties of the human brain. Rational, not sentimental. Okay. So, if at all one has to use his rational intelligence or his ability to apply logic, he has to depend on scriptures. So, conducting research, if it is done on scriptures, then he will get authorized knowledge. Right? All research work has to be conducted on authorized scriptures, not through mental imagination. Right? That will take one nowhere. So, that is also recommended here. Now, last two paragraphs are very important. Last but one paragraph is about indirect understanding. The words gram, grihyamanair gunaihi indicates the rational and intellectual faculties of human brain. That is using knowing through indirect analysis. All of these can be used to directly and indirectly perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indirectly, one may experience the Lord through His creation. Since we are experiencing this world through our intelligence and senses, we may conclude that our own intelligence must have a creator, and that creator is therefore supremely intelligent. See this? Got it? With one's intelligence, how we understand that God is there? You understand so many functionings of this universe, and you realize that I am understanding these functionings based on my intelligence, because I have intelligence. So this is created by someone, and I am understanding this with my intelligence, and my intelligence also must be created by someone. And this interaction that is happening between my intelligence and that phenomena is also under the supervision of someone. So just by indirect analysis, just by rational thinking, intellectual analysis, he can understand that there is some supreme creator. Right? Thus, through simple logic, any sane person can understand that there is a supreme personality of Godhead who is controlling everything. This tree is giving this kind of fruits, and the leaves of the tree are having this kind of shape. Who created this? There must be a creator. And where am I getting this capacity to analyze this? There must be a creator for this system also. How is this whole material nature functioning? There must be a creator. So creation means implies a creator. By using simple logic, one can understand the existence of a person behind this creation. Now, direct analysis. One may directly perceive the Lord through chanting and hearing His holy names and glories. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnoha means that one should always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. One who perfectly hears and chants will undoubtedly see the Lord face to face. Lord Krishna is all-pervading, and one should search for Him everywhere. So this direct perception or directly trying to understand by Sravanam and Kirtanam requires some faith. You may not be able to see Him directly now, but you have faith that if I engage my intellectual faculties, mental faculties, physical abilities in Krishna's service, one day I will be able to see. That's why they quote this verse also. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyaihi. It's very difficult to understand Krishna or know Krishna by one's indriya, senses. But Sevon Mukhehi Jihvadav, engage those same senses in Krishna's seva, beginning with your tongue, then Swayameva Spuratyada, Krishna Himself will reveal to you. So if one has a simple faith on this, with my senses I cannot understand Him, but if I engage my senses in Krishna's service, He Himself will reveal to me. So that is considered direct. But if you just try to deduct, oh, this tree is there, this mountain is there, this house is there, why this fan is rotating like this, electrical energy, where is that electrical energy getting from? Water. Who invested that energy in water to produce this? So then he will understand there must be some creator. So that is like an indirect thing. Just consulting one's own intelligence, common sense. But directly learning from authorities, and then they will give you direct. You chant Hare Krishna. There is some Krishna, He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all parts and parcels. What you need to do to go back to Him, just chant Hare Krishna. Just read Bhagavatam, right? Then he will give you directly, keep faith on it and engage in services, then one will go back to Godhead. That is direct. 24th verse.
अत्राप्युदाहरन्तीनां इतिहासं पुरातनम् अवधूतस्य संवादं यदोर् अमिततेजसः अवधूतं द्विजं कञ्चित् चरन्तम् अकुतोभयं कविं निरीक्ष्य तरुणं यदुः पपृच्छ धर्मवित्।
In this regard, sages cite a historical narration concerning the conversation between the greatly powerful king Yadu and Avadhuta. Maharaj Yadu once observed a certain Brahmana Avadhut, who appeared to be quite young and learned, wandering about fearlessly. Being himself most learned in spiritual science, the king took the opportunity and inquired from him as follows.
So Maharaj Yadu inquired from an Avadhut who is traveling. So all these 24 gurus are his gurus, his realizations from the material nature. So Krishna will give that. So we couldn't start it. I think we went into some details or have a slow. So we couldn't start it. In the next class we'll start. Okay, 1:30. Trashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.